All right, just after 4 o'clock, DGS on a Friday. Obviously, Dave not with us today. He'll be back next week. Rachel, Andrew, and Kevin. And I should point out, you know, Dave is out taking care of his mom. She had, was it yesterday morning, Rach?
Yes.
Had a little bit of a fall. I don't know if she's at the hospital, but Dave's with her, and they're just kind of making it. Sounds like things are okay. Like, it mm-hmm. didn't sound like anything terrible happened, but... You know, is she 96, 97?
Yes.
Or Dave was saying the other day, like, she says she's 97, but he's not sure. But either way, you know, obviously all the best to Dave and his mom. And Dave's just there being a good son.
Absolutely.
And that's what he's doing today. It's just in case people are curious of what he's off for or anything. And we were I was thinking about that because when Dave Murray brought it up, right?
The last time he was out of the
tattoo, and I was like, well, it's not a tattoo. Like, no, Dave is just being a really good son, which is what he is, and taking care of mom. And if there's any news, you know, like in the next coming days, I'm sure Dave will talk about it next week or anything like that. But it sounds like everything's under control. Mm-hmm. Everything's okay. And Dave is just being a good son.
But no harm saying a prayer or sending out some positive thoughts to the Glover family.
No, not at all. They will not be refused and certainly can't hurt. All right. George Mayhew is in with us on a Friday. George, thanks for coming in. Everything. What was your experience? You said you had a small experience yesterday with opening day and bringing your wife downtown.
No, it was a big experience.
Big experience.
Yeah. No, I'm suffering from a little, I'm moving a little slow today.
So you got hypothermia still?
Got a little baseball-itis going. a little case of that going. No, it was great. I mean, you just can't beat that whole pregame exercise. And everybody knows it, and it doesn't ever get old. You know, I've been doing this for... You know, forever. And when the Clydesdales come in, that's just the best part of the whole darn year. And you know, the fans know it. The players know it. The players coming up, they go, I've heard this is a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They're not wrong.
You know, I feel like I have a pretty neutral perspective on this because I didn't grow up in St. Louis and I didn't grow up a Cardinals fan. So it's not like, you know, I'm wearing the Cardinals rose-colored glasses when I'm looking at this. But from my experience, having been to a bunch of opening days in different places and obviously seeing every opening day here now since 2007. So I came in late 2006, so I didn't see that one. But ever since 2007, in talking to like Mark Mulder, who's going to join us at 4:30, he's been through other opening days. The guys that played the game who played in other places who have nothing bad to say about those other places, they all say the same thing, that it's different here.
And that's what I'm glad you answered that question because I was asking my wife that yesterday. I said, does this happen, you know, are they wearing Dodger blue jackets in Dodger Stadium too on opening day?
Yeah.
Is it the same kind of
thing?
They
do it up big in L.A. Cincinnati has a big, you know, really big day. Cincinnati used to be the first game of the year for Major League Baseball every year. So before anyone else played, they played in Cincinnati. So they have that. A lot of the older school cities, like with the old teams, you know, like the Detroits and New York. Like, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of great opening days. But the way that I've always had it put to me and the way that I would put it based on my experience is there's nothing better than a tie for first. Nobody does it better than here.
Yeah. Yeah, and they don't have the Clydesdales.
No, they don't have that.
It gives me goosebumps just to think about it today.
It's such a visual, right?
Yeah, it's great. And that song, it's just wonderful anyway. It was a good time.
Yeah.
It was a great game. You know, here we go.
And there aren't many franchises that have had what the Cardinals have had. And I know that people are, you know, they have their legitimate and various frustrations with the current team or the way it was last year coming into this year. But most franchises don't have the continuity of one generation of amazing superstar, rock star, Hall of Famers passing to the next, right? So this one, you had all the 60s guys. Well, actually, you had Red Shane Dean and Stan Musial forever. And then that transitioned into Lou Brock
and
Mike Shannon and Bob Gibson. And that transitioned into Ozzy and Bruce.
And then
now that's transitioning into the next. So there's this nonstop connection, and they're always around.
And they don't miss it either.
They don't have that in Oakland.
Yeah.
They don't have that in San Diego. They do have that in New York. They'll have that with the Dodgers, but not many franchises have that.
Well, they don't have the Clydesdales, and they don't have the Slinger Dog.
I'm guessing they don't have one of those.
Whoa. I saw it, and that's as close as I wanted to get to it.
I want one.
I haven't had one yet. I'll have one, but
so,
I didn't have one yesterday.
Let's go. It was the hot dog. Right?
It's got like two eggs on it.
It's got two eggs, fried eggs on top that they make for you. They're not like sitting off to the side. They make them there.
I don't know how you could. I don't think you could make an egg.
Well, you can, but it would be terrible.
Yeah.
Right. So they got the fried eggs. They've got, was it chili on there?
Yeah, chili and a hot dog and the dog sticking out of both sides. It's kind of an obscene looking thing, but I will try it. I shouldn't pass judgment.
One day.
I didn't get to yesterday,
but one day it's on the list. I definitely want to share it with someone. It looks too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You and Andrew can eat one like Lady and the Tramp style.
Yep.
No, I'm sorry, but I'm you can judge me if you want as the food guy, George.
You're not a sharer.
But no, I'm a sharer, but on a chili dog, I am a fork and knife. We're cutting it up.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Aren't you fancy boy?
Yeah, I know.
Yep. I am too.
Yep. I'm a fork and knife for anything that's like that.
Oh, they're going to have you for lunch over there for doing that way. We always wondered about that guy.
All right. We're going to be on the rooftop here, George, or at least we think we are. We're working out the details, but it sounds like we're going to broadcast from the rooftop on Monday during the eclipse, and it sounds
perfect.
Like that's a possibility to go eat?
Yeah, it is. There's several rooftops in town that are doing, they'd be crazy not to for this. I know over at the Moonrise Hotel, they're doing, up on that 12th floor there, they've got access and they've got eclipse cocktails. And you can also eat lunch up there beforehand, which would be kind of nice. And the weather's going to be perfect. It was kind of, they didn't know for a while, and now every time I look at it, it's getting better.
I'm going to have to bring sunscreen Monday.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I think general admission at the Moonrise is $10 for that. I think it's 11 to 4. But the other party is down, which another obvious place is down at 360,
where they're
going to do their thing. And they've got, I think, an abbreviated menu, but they've got some eclipse-themed cocktails and things like that. So
that's a cool spot, too.
It's perfect. I mean, and there's chairs, and it's a real party atmosphere up there. Not that the Moonrise won't be, but I think it's going to be just fantastic. Now, we're going to go over into Southern Illinois, into a winery.
Oh, so you're getting to more of the totality.
I'm right on. There's a place in Alto Pass, Illinois, called Von Jakob, J-A-K-O-B, Von Jakob Winery.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's this beautiful place, a winery and a brewery as well, lots of acreage, and it's right on the line. It's maximum totality.
Okay, so you're chasing the eclipse.
Yeah, it's 4:09 of the best time ever.
There you go.
And I did that the last time. Actually, I scooted down to a different winery when I was on my scooter. But anyway, this will be, those that have seen the totality, it's worth it. When I did it, I said, I don't care, how far I have to travel the next time this happens. Well, I'm going to do this again.
None of us are going to be around for the next one.
That's true. It's like, what, 400 or 500? Some crazy amount. I don't care.
Put it this way.
By
the time we get to the next one, the aliens will be here.
You're right. Exactly. So anyway, it's going to be a...
Because people think they're here now.
Obviously, a great time. And everybody's saying, well, what's the traffic going to be like? Who knows? This is like...
Leave early.
Yeah.
Leave early. So, you don't want to play around. Because then if you're sitting in your car and you miss it... Well, you won't miss it, but you know what I mean. You're going to miss the atmosphere.
Yeah, so I was able to secure a table. I thought I was like way too late to the party here. I called Von Jakob, and they said, well, you can reserve a table on their website. I go, well, surely those are all gone. No, we've got some tables left. So you can actually, anybody that wants to do that, it's still not too late. And there's a whole bunch of wineries on that Shawnee Hills Trail down in southern Illinois, southeastern Illinois, that are right in the path of totality.
Right.
There's a whole bunch of them. So if anybody wants to make the 2-hour trip, I'll see you on the road.
All right. Tell us about what's happening with Lambert, because, all of us live here. We've had our complaints about what's available in there, what's good, what's not. Are we getting some new choices?
We're getting some new choices. And it's interesting there because I didn't know this. I was talking to the guys at Four Hands Brewing and Peacemaker.
Yeah.
They're doing that big project in Kirkwood, and they're planning another combo Peacemaker and Four Hands Brewing, restaurant at Lambert in Terminal 2. And there wasn't a timeline. I didn't know about a timeline. So I talked to the owner and he said, we're going to do it in August. I said, okay, good to know, because that hadn't been publicized yet. And what I didn't know, he said, we would have done it a lot sooner, but there is a very strict timetable there. They can't have too many restaurants down
or under
construction at one time. It's too chaotic. So he said, we were slated to open a lot sooner, but we kind of got
You can't have people coming through there with no options.
That's right.
Right.
No options or, yeah. just or construction everywhere, yeah. And you know, so that is going to that's going to happen in August. Maybe the biggest news there in Terminal 2, Shake Shack is coming later this year. We don't know exactly when. That's going to be in Terminal 2. There is a NASCAR draft house. Have you ever been to one of these?
I haven't. No, I've seen them.
They've been in the business but haven't been in it for 10 years. Well, they're getting back in.
Oh, okay, okay.
And they're going to do that in Terminal 1. And that's a breakfast, lunch, and dinner thing. Again, NASCAR draft house. I love the, you know, drafting.
Yeah, so, yeah, the play
so
on words.
You get the play on words there. So that's going to happen. There's a Payway over there. Again, that Asian kind of food goes well. You can grab that and go. That's going to go, I think, in Terminal 1 also later on this year. But the most crazy one that I heard of, and I saw this when I was at Terminal 2, and I walked by it. It's this 5x5 block that's had Crushed Red's name on it. And I said, is that a pizza vending machine, to myself? And I thought, I'm going to call the owner and find out. And I did. Chris LaRocca, the guy that owns Crushed Red, said, yeah, we were trying to figure out different ways. You know, I'm looking at universities. I'm looking at hospitals. And he said, I've been looking at these things for a while. And it's a self-serve pizza vending machine. It holds 96 pies and 6 different varieties. In 3 minutes, you've got a hot pizza.
Okay, I was gonna say, it's got to take some time to heat it up, right?
3 minutes. So you pick your pizza.
That's not bad.
An arm finds the pizza.
It's like a personal size pizza?
It's a 10 and a half inch pizza.
That's like, way bigger than I thought it would be.
And it's piping hot, served in 3 minutes. And he said, it's just the coolest thing ever. They supply the shells to to HMS Host. Excuse me. Who loads them up and loads the machine. So basically, once he drops off those shells, it's a hands-off deal for Crushed Red. And he said, it's great. And they set records. I guess this company is very popular in Europe and in Japan.
Okay.
These things exist all over the world. But he said they broke company records here the first week.
All right.
And anyway, so a Crushed Red pizza in 3 minutes. You know how pizzas, you know, you get them delivered and they're soggy and they're cold and they're this and they're shifted to one side of the box, you know, all the problems. Who doesn't love a hot pizza? I just think it's a brilliant idea. And apparently WashU is you know, what are you doing over there, Chris? We might be interested in one of these things. So this is
better that than a Sparrow.
Yeah. So anyway, I just think that's just really cool. And I saw it there, and he said, you know, it was not easy to do. You don't just like wheel this thing in on a two-wheeler. You know, this is a big deal. You've got to take storefronts off, and it was major surgery to get that into it. Everybody loves it. HMS Host loves it. Chris loves HMS Host. It's just a kumbaya thing going on over there in Terminal 2 at the Crushed Red Pizza Place.
All right, there's my transition, because it doesn't sound like there's a kumbaya here, because Rach tells me you have a beef.
Well,
and you see what I did there? Dual meaning?
Yeah. I love a good beef. Where's the beef? It's right here. You know, this just happened. I don't even know how to start on this one because I'm so upset about it. Let me set the table. See what I did there?
All right. Yeah. Okay. Look at us. We all turned into Emmy Mark scorers.
So the party is at a prominent restaurant. It's a party of 6 or 8. And the server comes up and says, will everybody be having entrees tonight to the host? And the host goes, I don't know. I didn't, you know, you want me to query everybody? You want me to ask everybody what they're having? Well, you know, the tables in the restaurant are for entree eating folks. And they basically, what they're saying is, if you're just going to have appetizers and drinks, we'd prefer you go to the bar.
Hmm.
You do that in the bar, which I'd never heard of is kind of pre-screening the party. And
be like, I don't know.
And it irritated this person, and it would have irritated me, too, because this was written nowhere else. It wasn't posted like everybody over there needs to eat entrees kind of thing. And I thought, well, that's just kind of...
What if you do a boatload of appetizers? What if you did like 100 of them?
And that's exactly the point that I made in my little rant.
Yeah.
Because people like me eat a lot of appetizers, and I drink a lot of stuff. And I dare say I'll spend more money on what I'm doing than the guy at the next table that's ordering an entree and isn't drinking. So Anyway, I just
think a weird thing.
I just think restaurants need to reconsider that because that's really, you don't want to prevent them from making a buck, and yet that table of eight might turn only once a night. But you don't know what's going to happen there. You don't know how much booze is going to get consumed. You know, just let it be and roll the dice.
I'm all with you.
How about
I think that's.
That?
I think pre-screening your table is a bad idea.
That's a bad idea.
Off the air, you're going to tell me who did that.
I will.
Thanks, George.
Which is
have a sworn good
to secrecy.
Yeah, I won't tell. I promise, I won't tell. I just saw some news on Twitter.
Oh yeah.
It's not real news. It's entertainment news. It's silly news. But the new Mandalorian movie's coming out.
Oh, interesting.
May 22nd.
Is it?
I hate the name of it.
What is it?
It's called The Mandalorian and Grogu.
Oh.
And it's a movie
Baby
releasing
Yoda.
In the theaters. Yes. Yes, but like, it's such a dumb name.
The Mandalorian
like,
and Grogu.
That would be like calling Star Wars the Luke and Leia movie.
Yeah.
Or what, I mean, like, it's just, you couldn't do better than that.
How many seasons does The Mandalorian have now? Three?
Great question that I'm not going to remember off the top of my head. It's three or four. And I love the show. I know, you know there are people that will never be pleased with anything that's related to any of the franchises that they love.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are people that will never be pleased with anything related to the Harry Potter universe or Star Wars or the Tolkien universe with Lord of the Rings. Like there are people you're never going to please because their expectations are beyond reality or beyond the norm. There's three seasons of The Mandalorian, by the way. The fourth one is upcoming, following the movie, I would assume. And I guess I wish people would just accept that when you're delving into these big universes, it's never going to be exactly what you dreamed it would be. And it doesn't have to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't have to mirror the comic book or the actual book or the cartoon or what or the video game. It doesn't have to be. It's just a story based in that universe, and it can be good if it's not perfect.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Because you get a show like The Sopranos, which is like unique and it's its own thing. And of course, it's easy for everyone to love that because you have nothing to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have to compare Harry Potter to the detail in the books, it's never going to be the same. And people just can't accept those things.
Got to let people have their interpretations.
Absolutely. All right. Hey, we got Mark Mulder joining us coming up after the news. All right, we're back in on Friday on DGS. Dave out today. He will be back next week. The rest of us are here holding down the fort. And, you know, I want to point your attention to something that that we've been doing here for, I don't know, it's been a few years. We seem to do this every year or so with Mark Mulder, former Cardinals pitcher, joining us. He's going to be a part of the Invited Celebrity Classic, which is coming up the 19th through the 21st this month. Now, that is a PGA Tour Champions competition. So it's the PGA Tour champs, guys like Vijay Singh, Retief Husen, Colin Montgomery, and then a whole bunch of people from the sports and entertainment world like Mark, like Albert Pujols, and we'll go through some of those guys with Mark here. That'll be coming up later this month, the 19th through the 21st, as I said, and that'll be on Golf Channel all 3 days, which is a blast. I know, Mark, that we've talked about different events at times over the years, but I know this is stuff that you really enjoy, getting out there with other guys who share your passion for golf, and in this case, getting out there with the pros.
Yeah, I really enjoy this kind of stuff, man. I mean, obviously, my career ended a long time ago, so I need something. I need, but I still want to compete, you know. And I feel very fortunate to be invited to these events. Mike Flaskey, who runs this Invited Celebrity, is a buddy, and it's great to be a part of it because, like I've said before, it fills that void, man. That competition void is a real thing when you compete your whole life. And being able to do it against some of the Champions Tour guys that, you know, some of them are somewhat close to my age. Some of them are older. Some I watched as a kid. But it's still being able to share their arena,
yeah,
you know, and play from those same tee boxes as them. And I get it. We have our own competition with the celebrities and entertainers and stuff. But still, you're still competing against them because you're in the same group with them. So how can you not?
Well, you guys are all competitors. I mean, you had it taken away from you a little too early because of the injuries, which I'm sure was frustrating at the time and maybe still. But to have this outlet and for you guys to get to measure up against some of these guys. I mean, these are people that made their living and made millions of dollars doing this, like you guys made in football, baseball, whatever sport you came up in. I'm sure it's that it tickles that itch a little bit, right?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely. And, you know, some of these, it's cool because some of these Champions Tour guys, you know, they come into different cities, maybe where we played, you know.
Yeah.
Belle Reve. I mean, some of these guys had numerous events at Belle Reve back in the day. So, you know, things like that. You get to know a lot of these guys, Billy Andrade, a lot. There's a bunch of these guys I've played a ton of golf with. So, it's really fun to play with them. They're big sports fans because, as I said, they travel. Well, what do? They go to a lot of sporting events at night. They got to do something.
Right.
You know, they're on the course all day. They want something to do. So they go to a lot of hockey, basketball, baseball games, things like that. A lot of them have thrown out the first pitch at numerous stadiums when there's big events in town. So trust me, they're as big of fans as we are.
Yeah, it's cool. You know, so yesterday, obviously, we had opening day at Busch Stadium, Mark, and we were talking to Alan and Andy Bennis and just kind of shooting the bull about the difference between guys that make it to the big leagues as pitchers. We were talking, obviously, with them specifically about pitching and the subtle differences between the guys that make it and stick versus the guys that don't or guys get stuck in AAA. So in this sense, how does that compare? What is the difference between guys like you, John Smoltz, who is a phenomenal golfer, Greg Maddux, Albert? What's the difference between you guys that are really, really good coming from another sport and those guys like Vijay Singh and Justin Leonard and all those guys?
You know, you're saying golf-wise?
Yeah. Like, how does that – just in general, like when you compare how you guys are, because you guys are good. I know you win celebrity events at least somewhat regular because we've talked about them in the past. So I know you're very good at this. How does your game or the games of guys like you compare to those guys? Like, what are the differences that you notice?
It's a huge difference.
Really?
I mean, like I said, yeah, I'm a decent player, but I'm not anywhere near them. I would compare it to, say, me pitching in the big leagues to a A-ball guy.
Wow, really?
Maybe, yeah, it really is. It is that much different. I mean, you know, because an A-ball guy can come to the big leagues and they can have a little bit of success. Like for me, I can go play a Champions Tour event, let's say, and yeah, I'm going to make some birdies. I'm going to make some pars.
Uh-huh.
But I have no chance of winning the golf tournament. Like, you get what I'm saying? Like, absolutely zero chance. So that's kind of my point. Like, one of the 3 days of the event, can I compete against them? Yes. But the next 2 days, no chance. I mean, just no chance. And, you know, people have said, like, when I was winning the American Century a handful of years, they're like, should go try and play on tour. And I go, listen, I play with these guys. They could beat me barefoot with their eyes closed. Like, you know, and I got to play. I got a sponsor's exemption into the 2018 or 2019 Safeway in Napa.
Uh-huh.
And I played really well. And I finished third from last.
Man.
So, you know, that's what people don't understand. You know, people are like, oh, do you think if you really worked on your game, you could maybe make a cut? I honestly don't think I could.
Wow. Mark Mulder's with us. He's going to be taking part in the Invited Celebrity Classic. That's going to be April 19th through the 21st at Las Colinas Country Club in Irving, Texas. It's also going to be on the Golf Channel all 3 days. And again, this is a PGA Tour Champions event, so the champions will be competing. Mark will be in the group of celebrities, former athletes, other famous people that are going to be competing separately. It's also going to be raising money for charity. So, fantastic event. And we'll close up the golf part of this, Mark, with just the you in your own world. How about you and the other guys that are considered the celebrities that'll be in there? Guys like Glavin and Maddux and Smoltz and Albert Pujols and guys like that.
Yeah.
How does that hierarchy work? And how competitive are you guys amongst yourselves?
Well, I think everybody's unbelievably competitive. The thing is, there's anywhere from I would say 6 to 10 of us that can win it.
Okay.
I'll tell you right now, Albert's getting incredibly better at golf than
really?
He used to be.
All right.
He really is.
He's got
he really
time
is,
now.
Man. He's playing a ton. I played a practice round with him in this event last year. We were paired together on day one of the event. He was out here in Arizona, last fall.
Right.
We golfed one of the days out here, you know, so trust me, he's playing a ton of golf. Everyone's trying to get better. I would have to think, I don't know, myself, Tony Romo, Marty Fish, Smoltz. There is. There's kind of just a small handful who are going to be the guys that you'll see most likely at the top of that leaderboard. And, you know, I got to get my game ready for I leave in a little over a week.
That sounds like it's going to be a blast. All right, hey, do me a favor. Since yesterday was opening day, you know, we had it was almost like a family reunion. I'm sure you know that feeling, that all of the former players that are in town, and there were a ton of guys in town this year having a great time. Do you remember I'm sure you do, but how much do you remember of your first opening day at Busch Stadium coming into the 2005 season?
2005 season. So I can't say I remember it that much. I personally remember more of 06 since I pitched that day.
Yeah, so, good point.
You know, 2006 was much more memorable since I won the game, and of course, the only cool thing about that game was me hitting the home run. So, you know, I always have to remind everybody about that.
That was sweet. That was pretty sweet.
I did give up the first, which is kind of sad to say, but then Albert hit the second, and I hit the third. So, you know, it's by far my favorite. I was fortunate enough to pitch two opening days in Oakland. And then the one in St. Louis in 06. So it was 05 was special, though, because obviously coming from Oakland,
right,
where we didn't necessarily listen, the Oakland A's fans were amazing. We just didn't have as many of them.
Right.
So being able to come into St. Louis was eye opening for me. The love for the team, the love of baseball in St. Louis is kind of second to none. And it was, that opening day was really, really cool. Just the energy. It wasn't something I'd really experienced before, other than maybe being in an away stadium, but
right,
to have that kind of stuff. And then obviously 2006, in that new stadium and being able to be a part of that was really, really special, man.
Those years had to be fun coming in, too, and we'll close on this, Mark, because you came into a situation, you knew that team was good. You know, you're coming into the MV3 kind of team, a team that's loaded for bear, and obviously 06 World Series champions, but that had to be a pretty cool, because you were on good teams in Oakland, too, so you didn't have to make the transition to, oh, no, it's going to be rebuilding or whatever.
Yeah, but so here's what I'll say, though, is my Oakland days, they were awesome. We loved it. You know, everything about it. We never had the playoff success.
Right.
And
yeah,
when I came to St. Louis, and we went to the playoffs in 05 and 06, we stumbled into the playoffs in 06. But point is, the vibe with that team and the veterans and how good we were and how talented we were was totally different than what we had in Oakland.
Really?
And I'll say it because we used to go to the playoffs in Oakland and we're like, all right, here we go. Let's see what we got. You know, kind of just we were all young, immature. We didn't have any experience. And when I came to St. Louis, I will never forget. I believe we played the Padres in the division series, and I remember them going, just the guys on the team overhearing the attitude, the vibe. It was, all right, let's go sweep them and move on to the championship series and see what we got. But that was the demeanor. That was the thought process. Like, they have no chance of beating us, so let's go beat Peavy, and then we'll worry about the rest.
Yeah,
you know, and that was amazing to me, and it was so cool, and it was just different, and it's hard to describe to people because that's not what we had in Oakland. And had we had that attitude in Oakland, I can't imagine the success that we might have had, but we didn't. But we had it in St. Louis, and to me, that was the game changer, and that is what a team needs to have that postseason success.
Man, so bringing it right back full circle, all about the mentality, about that, all about the mental side of the game. Mark, it's always great catching up with you, man. Good luck in the Invited Celebrity Classic. Hopefully you'll get out there and have fun with those champions and then, of course, beat up on your fellow celebrity competitors. We'll look forward to doing this again sometime soon, and hopefully we'll see you in St. Louis.
Sounds great. Thank you very much.